have your Bibles this morning. We want to turn to a very familiar piece of scripture that blesses our hearts so much. Turn to the book of Ephesians. To the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In this chapter here, Paul deals with the means of salvation as they were purposed and agreed and prepared by Father in the internal and his internal counsel. We're going to start reading here in the first verse, and we're going to read the entire chapter. Just pray for God's blessings upon it. It says, Paul, and an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that in the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, in the first two verses, we have the greetings of Paul to the church at Ephesus. He says, Paul, and an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul was an apostle, and an apostle somewhat was someone that had meted Christ personally, and that had been trained by Christ to teach the gospel. We all remember that Paul was a very rebellious guy. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated the Christians. He persecuted them. And that shows the power of the sovereign power of God. You know, he is absolute sovereign in salvation. He will save whom he will save. He's absolutely sovereign in providence and also in creation. And it says right here that he was an apostle by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't think any of God's people really like to be called saints, but we are all saints. And we are saints because we have been by the elect of God. We have been placed in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are sanctified by God the Father. We're sanctified in Jesus Christ. We're sanctified by the Spirit. We're sanctified by the Word of God. And we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank God for that. He says, peace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there can be no grace without peace, you know. Grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve. And what was the most priceless gift that he gave us? The precious Lamb of God. Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. And he died on that old rugged cross for the people that his Father had given him and before the foundation of the world. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, as I said before, he was one that had seen the Lord and received his gospel directly from the Lord. Paul said that the gospel which he preaches was taught to him, not by man, but was taught to him directly from the Lord. And he said it was by the will of God. And he says that he's writing to the saints, to the believers. Everything in his holy scriptures here, almost every bit of it, is to the believers that are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I said before, we are sanctified by Christ Jesus. And they say here that the believers are faithful in Christ. Believers are faithful. You know, we put our trust, we put our faith. We have no faith in the flesh. We know that in the flesh dwells no good thing. The Bible plainly says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But our faith and our trust is in Christ Jesus. And that's something that, you know, that I personally, I have to pray every day. God, give me more trust. Give me more faith. I believe in you, O Lord, but help my unbelief. You know, in this flesh, sometimes we get so caught up in it and everything that we forget that God is absolute sovereign in providence. Everything that we have in this world, everything that we are, it is by the power of God. It is by his grace. And I thank him for that. He says right here, God our Father, do we realize what a privilege it is to be able to call the Almighty God our Father? And the only reason that we can do that is because the Bible says that there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And we are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are in the Father, and we're in his family, and we are to be able to call him Father, and I thank God for that right there. When he sees us, you know, there is everything that the sinner needs, everything in this world that the sinner needs is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that we're dead to this world, and our life is hid with Christ in God, and I thank him for that. I thank him so much for that. It says here that blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us in all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. There are so many times in the Bible when God speaks, whenever his prophets speak, when his apostles speak, they speak in past tense. In the minds of God, it's already happened. You know, we're in Christ Jesus, and there's nothing in this world that can take that away from us, you know. And God saved us in spite of ourselves. You know, we look at ourselves and so we see who we are, and we just think about what a miracle it is that God was able. You know, he didn't save us at the expense of his justice or at the expense of his mercy or at the expense of his holiness. Somebody had to die for our sins because we are sinful. In Christ Jesus, he died in our place, and I thank him for that. But it says here that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I think it's in 1 Colossians chapter 30, first chapter of No Corinthians. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has given us redemption, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All spiritual blessings, eternal life, All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, and I thank Him for that. I thank Him for that. And it says that there can be no peace and grace because grace, you know, like I said before, grace comes. Grace gives us something that we don't deserve, and we know what we deserve. You know, at the cross we seen who we were, and at the cross we seen who Christ Jesus was. You know, by being one of God, God's elect, we have peace with God, and we had the not only peace with God, but we had the peace of God. In Christ Jesus, you know, he says that by his stripes that we are healed and we are concealed to Jesus Christ. At Ephesians 2:8, just on the next page over here, we're talking about grace. It says here in verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then it says here over back in our text is from 1st to the 14th verse. In our text, it says, "According to He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, without blame before Him in love." And that is by being in Christ Jesus that we are able to do that. You know, the Lord Jesus said Himself, He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." There's no peace in this world. You know, Job says, "A man born of woman, his days are few and full of trouble." And if any of us has been around for any length of time, we can relate to that right there. But we have to know that greater is He that is in us than he that is of the world. We have the Spirit of God, living in us, and I thank Him for that. But it says here in verse 3, "God the Father has given us all things into the hands of His Son. Because we are in the Son, we have all things. Everything that God has for the sinner is in Christ, Jesus our Lord. And God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And that's something that nobody can ever take away from us. And one of the greatest blessings that we have is that we can call God our Father, and that we are in His family, and that in spite of ourselves that He has saved us. But it says here, if you will, have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 19. It's over just a few pages. Colossians 1, verse 19. You know, we serve such a wonderful Father. Christ Jesus, He is precious. You know, He is our representative. He is our substitute. He is our surety. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. His blood sacrifice is our atonement. His grace is our salvation. His eternal love is our security. And His mercy is our everlasting hope. I thank God for that. But it says here, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell." You know, I think it's in the book of Colossians that it says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of our Godhead body, and we are in Him." And I thank God for that. It says for here in verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him dwelleth all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes, and we were, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have He reconciled," in verse 22, "in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unrevable, unprovable in His sight." Being in Christ Jesus, we have all the righteousness and we have all the holiness that is in Him. It's hard for us to comprehend this, but we do. And it says here in this fourth verse, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." According as He has chosen us, you know, we desire Him, but it's first because He desired Him, because He desired us. We love Him, but it's because He first loved us. And He chose us in the counsels of His own will before the foundation of the world, whom He was placed in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you know, we're married to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And that's wonderful. And it says here, according as he has chosen us in him. Election. You know, a lot of people don't know what election is, but it's very simple. I was reading the other day, and a preacher, he gave an example of it, of what election is. And he said that he was working out in his garden, and his neighbor come over, and she said, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "You believe in election, don't you?" You know, the religious world, they hate election because it gives God all the credit. But anyway, he said, "Yes, I do." And she asked him, she said, "Well, what is election?" You'd be surprised that people out there don't really know what that means. But what is election? And that preacher, he didn't really know what she said. He said, "What?" She said, "What is election?" She said, "Well," he said, "Are you saved?" And some of you may have heard this. And she said, "Yes, I'm saved." And he said, "Well, who saved you?" And she said, "God saved me." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, was it on purpose or was it by accident?" And she said, "Well, it was on purpose." He said, "My dear, that's election. God does everything on purpose. There's no accidents with God. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, speaking of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I thank him for that. And then he says here in the 5th verse, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There's so many people that I even had a preacher tell me one time he didn't believe in predestination. And I think it's listed 4 times in the Bible. And he said, "I don't care. I don't believe in it. And I don't understand that." But I think one of the best definitions of predestination is found over here. If you will, turn to Romans 8. It's another chapter we're very familiar with, Romans 8, and look at verse 29. The Bible says here, when we're talking about predestination, the Bible says here, "From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." Election has to do with people, and then predestination has to what those people are going to become. And the Bible tells us right here that heaven is going to be populated with a people that are going to be just like Christ Jesus. He says here, "Have predestinated us unto the adoption of children." Who are children? That's the sons of God. You know, when we look at ourselves and we see who we are, we can't imagine what it's like to be called a son of God. But if you have your Bibles, if you will, turn over to, I think it's 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You know, the Bible is God's heart, soul, and mind. It's his absolute word. Everything in it is absolute truth, you know. And we're talking about the children. We're talking about the sons of God. And he speaks to this as if it's already happened. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3 of 1 John. It says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And listen to this. Beloved, he's talking to his elect. Beloved, oh, what spiritual blessings. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's go back to our text. You know, as I think about that right there, you know, I've had people to say, "Well, you know, if you're elected, if you're predestinated, then you can live any way you want to." You know, the children of God that has truly been saved by saving faith, don't you wish you could be who you wanted to be? Don't you wish you could be who would we be like? Wouldn't you love to be like Christ Jesus? Wouldn't you love to have his holiness, his righteousness? You know, we hate who we are on the inside. We know who we are. You know, this flesh tells us every day, you know, a good example of it, you know, maybe sometimes they, you know, we think, hey, we're doing pretty good, you know, but we get out there in the car and somebody cuts us off. I heard Henry say one time, do you holler and say, hey, bless that man? We don't do that, do we? No, we don't do that. That's because the flesh comes out on us, you know. But it says here, in whom we have redemption, through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I titled this message "Abundant Grace" because God, you know, considering who He is and considering who we are, He done all of this for one reason. He done it for His Son. He done it out of love. How God could love someone like us, you know, it's hard to understand, but like I said, we're married to Christ, and there's going to be billions of people in heaven, and we're all going to be like Christ. We're going to love what He loves. We're going to enjoy what He enjoys. We're going to love sitting at His feet and hearing Him. And I can't imagine what it would be like to literally be into the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there's nothing that can take that away from us, you know, because we're in the hands over in Romans chapter 8, you know, the last part of that chapter there. It doesn't matter what it is. There's nothing that can take us out of His hands. We're secure in His hands. What did David say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I thank Him for that. I truly thank Him for that. It says here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, whereas He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, all the wisdom of God. Who can know His wisdom? It says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, but in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. You know, Christ is the head, and we are the body. He is the head of all things, and I thank Him for that. It says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, we don't even have a clue as to what we're getting ready to face. But I'm reminded of that verse where it says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that our God has for us. And you know, the Bible says that life is like a vapor. It's going to appear for a little while and then it's gone, you know. And we're going to be in His presence before we know it. And as God's people, it gives us something to look for. We live in a world where that sometimes it seems like it's upside down, but, you know, He's providence, and He's sovereign in providence, you know. So everything is going just exactly the way He wants it to do. You know, and we serve a mighty God, and Christ Jesus is precious. We've come together this morning because He's allowed it, and we're here to worship Him and to praise Him and to thank Him for all of His spiritual blessings that He has given us. And He's done it all out of love, and I thank Him for that. And it says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. He's going to be ahead of all things. What He's talking about right here is the unity of Christ. He's going to bring Gentiles, and He's going to bring Jews together. And He talks about the things in heaven. He's talking about the elect angels, and it's all going to be a part of His church, you know. And it's going to be wonderful. It says, in whom we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, He's sovereign. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? For He is God. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget that. But it says that we should be to the praise of His glory. What does it say? And we know that all things work together to the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It's about His glory, and it's about His Son. And we thank him for that. And it says, in whom you have trusted, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, a lot of you may know about this. When it talks about the sealing of the promise, a good example that I heard was back years ago, we done a lot of canning, you know, and some of you may have done that, you know, and you've got your pressure cooker, you got your water bath, you get your vegetables and you put it in there, you know, and you cook them and everything, and then after a certain time, you'll let the pressure off, and you'll take that jar and you'll set it out on a towel and you'll let it cool, you know, and whenever I was canning, the prettiest sound I could hear was when them lids would start popping because they were sealing. That means that they were preserved. They weren't going to spoil. You know, we're not only preserved by the power of God, we persevere by the power of God. You know, and it's all of him. And it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, the prize of his glory. We have a down payment. As I said before, it says, what know ye not, that in your body is the Holy Spirit, you know, and that we are not our own, but we belong to God, and he's going to take care of us. You know, that's one thing that his ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. But you know, God does all things well. He does all things well. All things. He's perfect in all his attributes and every one of them. And so regardless of what comes our way, it helps us to know that he is in control. And it helps us to know, regardless of what the future brings, he's the one that's in control. And we are in his hands. And we always will be. And that's a blessing to us. There's a lot of things in the Bible, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand. But I accept every bit of it because it's the absolute word of God. And I know that it is truth. And it is truth. I'd like to read one more verse right here. I sort of got off of my scripture. But anyway, I'd like to read something here that should be a blessing that should be a blessing to all of us. Because I said the absolute truth of God is... the word of God is truth. But listen to this, and this is a record that God has given to us. He has given it to us, to his elect, okay? And that is this right here, and that is that life is in the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And he wants us to be comfortable in this world. And he says that he writes these things right here, you know. He says that he's written these things so that you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. If you believe on the name of the Son of God. And that's our insurance. That's our assurance. Our assurance. So, you know, assurance is not necessary for salvation. But assurance is believing God's word. And we have to ask him every day, God, help us to trust your word. Help us to trust in you. Help us to believe. Help us to believe what you're saying. Because this flesh, it's an enmity with God. You know, it always wants to do things that we don't want to. You know, Paul, the one that wrote this scripture, turn over to Acts 7 and we'll close. But something I'd like to read. You know, Paul wrote half of the books of the New Testament. Beginning in verse 15, he wrote half the books in the New Testament, and he was trained by God himself, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you know, and he was taught by him. And yet in the flesh, look at the problem. He has the same problem that we have. Look at chapter 7 in the book of Romans, beginning in verse 15. And this is Paul speaking. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent not unto the law that it is good. But then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And we know that. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man, and we can all relate to this, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Listen to this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I often think about the verse over in the book of Genesis, whenever Abraham and Isaac was going up on the mountain, and one of them had the fire and the other one had the wood, and Isaac looked up at his daddy and he said, "We have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the lamb?" And I love it where Abraham says, God himself, and I emphasize the word himself, God himself will provide the lamb. So he paid the price for us, and I thank him for that. You're dismissed.